Good morning. As always, I count it a joy and a privilege to be here gathered together with all of you to do the things that we've already done together and to continue to honor, worship, and serve God through the preaching of His Word. We do have visitors with us here this morning. We are grateful for your attendance, and we hope that at every opportunity that arises, you would see it to be a good thing to come back and to be with us to worship and serve God as the Lord's church. We are looking through the top 10 Bible passages of 2020, and it is the first Sunday of the month. And so we will look at number 3. You know, I recognize it's been a tough, challenging year in so many ways, and I guess all of us would be able to comment on that in one way or another. But we're at number 3. I'm not sure how that happened, but we are marching along here. We're almost to the end of this thing. So I'm not going to make you wait anymore. We'll see what number 3 is as was selected by the members at Northwest Church of Christ for 2020. Number 3 is Psalm 23. If you would, open your Bibles and turn with me there, and we'll consider what David has to say to us about the Lord our Shepherd. Psalm 23 is a psalm of David, as I mentioned. It is the middle of a triad of psalms. If you look at 22, 23, and 24, we have the cross, the crook, and the crown. Psalm 22 is a picture of the cross, and it is a marvelous picture. When you look at the Gospels in the New Testament, we see the events of the cross as they played out and as they were recorded by those who witnessed this or passed on the information as inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is in Psalm 22 where we can watch the crucifixion from the eyes of Jesus. This is a powerful chapter. We see what He went through and His experience on the cross, the things He says to Himself during that time of being put to death in that awful crucifixion. Psalm 23 is the crook. Every shepherd's staff has a crook, and so that's where that word comes from. It is the crook. It is the shepherd's staff, and it is a picture, a beautiful picture of the loving and caring shepherd. Psalm 24, as I mentioned, is the crown. The last verse in Psalm 24 says, "The Lord of hosts is the King of glory." And so in these three psalms, as the Lord often does, He shows us who He is. He is the God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. Psalm 22, 23, and 24. But you have selected the middle psalm in that triad, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is also often referenced as the He, Me psalm. If you read through it, you'll see that there is He leads me, He restores my, that type of language is there consistently. The Lord is referenced in Psalm 23 12 times, either by saying He, you, or the Lord. David in this psalm says I, me, and my 17 times. So the Lord's referenced 12 times in 6 verses. David references himself 17 times in these 6 verses. So it is the He, Me psalm. But as all of us know, this psalm is built and established on verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything else flows from that statement. It's a beautiful picture of a shepherd himself who looks to God and recognizes that I am His sheep and He is my shepherd. And what a blessed thing that is. Let's read it together in its entirety. Psalm 23 in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What a powerful, powerful psalm. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One of the very interesting things I find in Psalm 23 is this word shepherd and how it brings in all particular characteristics that have been given to us and described about God and who He is and what He does for His people. The Lord is my shepherd. If you look through the Old Testament, you'll find 10 descriptive names that are given to Jehovah God, and that is in the Old Testament. Six of them, as I look at this, can be found in Psalm 23. Six of the names that are given to God, Jehovah God, who show us who He is, are found in this psalm alone. And that in itself is amazing. Jehovah Ra, or Jehovah Roy, that is the name for God that is given to us in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's Jehovah Ra. I'm hoping that you're thinking about Jesus Christ. I'll mention David several times, but Jesus is ultimately where this points to. John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. We'll see Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, in Psalm 23 and verse 1 as well. Back in Genesis, Abraham names the mount of the Lord Jehovah Jireh, and that simply means the Lord will provide. But Psalm 23 and verse 1 says, I shall not want. And there he is. The I will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 24, Gideon, he will build an altar to the Lord. He names the altar, Jehovah is my peace. And so we see Jehovah Shalom in Psalm 23 and verse 2. He makes me lie down and leads me beside still waters. Sheep aren't laying down anywhere unless there's utter and complete peace. Jehovah is my peace. These pictures are coming out in Psalm 23. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. That passage is found in Jeremiah 23:6 and Jeremiah 33:16. This is where he declares that the Lord who rule over the restored Israel, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. Remember Psalm 23 and verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jehovah Shema is the next one. It simply means the Lord is there. It is the ever-present one, the eternal being who is always everywhere all the time. Jehovah Shema. Ezekiel 48:35, the last verse in the book of Ezekiel, presents the ever-present one. In Psalm 23 and verse 4, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That is Jehovah Shema. The next one is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. In Exodus 17 and verse 15, Moses will build an altar after defeating the Amalekites, and he names it Jehovah Nissi. It means the Lord is my banner. Psalm 23 and verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is a picture of someone who holds Almighty God over their head as his banner, no matter what's in front of him. God is the way. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He is my banner. The end of verse 1, Psalm 23, says, I shall not want. And again, the picture there that we see there is, I shall lack no good thing. It doesn't mean that I don't have any wants. We got a lot of TV commercials and advertisements flashing in front of us constantly. There's a lot of things I want that I don't have. That's not what this passage is saying. I shall not want. I shall stand in need of no good thing. This is telling us what a shepherd is and what he does and what he's done for us. The fact that he's given us his eternal word and he is showing us the way. He is our shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We may get the false impression that he makes me lie down. Sounds like there's a lot of force being applied, that he kind of gets his hand around your neck and says, you're going to lay down right here. That's not what's happening. It's not that he makes me. The language is he causes me. Because of who he is, I'm a sheep and I get scared of all kinds of things, but he causes me to lie down. He leads me beside still waters. Being led means that I can see him. I can be close enough to him to follow him. He leads me. Romans 8 talks about those who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You have to be able to see someone who is leading you. And so this psalmist beautifully writes down, he leads me beside still waters. Sheep cannot go into rivers. You watch a movie back in the old days, you know, they do that cattle drive. That's kind of going away. We don't see that very often anymore. But the cattle drive, and they drive those cattle, those big cows, through this deep river, and then they swim across. You'll never see that with sheep. They're not making it across the river. You can have a guy get on his horse and say, follow me. When he gets to the other side of the river, there's going to be no sheep. They're all going to be floating upside down. They will have drowned with their feet up in the air. They can't do the things that cattle can do. And they're not intelligent. They are prone to wonder. Sheep are not very smart. May I say to you that sheep are dumb? David knows that. He sat with these animals night after night. He knows that if he walks away, they are done for. Remember what he says to Saul? When I was in the field watching the sheep, I took a lion by the beard and I struck it and killed it. If David wasn't between that lion and those sheep, we'd have one full lion and a bunch of dead sheep. But God gave him the ability to destroy that lion. When the bear came upon the flock, I took that bear and I struck it and I killed it because God was with me. This picture of shepherd and shepherding, who could understand it better than David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the shepherd of the sheep. But we are sheep. I'm sorry to tell you that. We are not all that intelligent, though we like to pride ourselves in how smart we are. Psalm 100 in verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And I would add, we're not very smart. Prone to wonder. I had asked the folks at 9 o'clock service, have you ever seen at the circus, you know, you've got these different events. Sometimes they're laid out for you on the things you can go see. You can wait in line and go watch different events or things take place. Has anyone ever in the circus seen the sheep show? The answer is no. No one would ever bring sheep into a tight area and try to get them to perform. It is not going to happen. If you have a dog or a cat at your house, you're looking at Einstein compared to these sheep. Sheep are just foolish. I'll tell you what, you can run a test. You ever see a sheep? Throw a frisbee and say, go get it. They just stand there. They just stand there. If you're lucky, they just like look at you. Sheep have those crescent eyeballs. So you can't even make eye contact with a sheep. Like they can't lock into your eyes. Now, God's made them a particular way for a very special reason. They can almost see 360 degrees around their body because their eyes are on the side of their heads. God knows how dangerous it is for these sheep to be left alone, and He's given them some tools to at least know when to run. But this picture of a shepherd who leads his sheep to still water is crucial for us. The shepherd will take sheep through difficult terrain in order to get to water or get to these green pastures of fresh growth, but he's there with them. He sees them through, and when he brings them to the water, especially to the river, what a shepherd will do who is mindful of his sheep is he will take rocks. He'll leave them on the bank. They are not to get near a river that's moving. He will take rocks and he'll build out a little place where the river will pour into this spot and be still and settled. They can drink from there, but they cannot go into that river. It is a picture of what God does for us when life makes us uneasy, when we are fearful and we are prone to run. We have a shepherd who gives us truth, and we can be settled in that. We can move forward with confidence, not because we've made it to some new level of intelligence. It's because of our full dependence on the shepherd. He knows all things. He created all things. Who else would you depend on? And so he says to us in this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still water. Look at verse 3. Psalm 23 in verse 3 says this, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I want to read something for you from Psalm 51. We'll see here in Psalm 51, David is writing this psalm of repentance, and he is pleading with the Lord to blot out his sin. Psalm 51 in verse 10, David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." David knows that it is God who renews the spirit within. He restores the soul. He restores the joy of our salvation. And how does he do all of that? It is by his living word. It's always that way. We focus entirely on God's word when we present these messages from the pulpit, because this is where it comes from. You want your soul to be restored. You want your spirit to be revived. Go to God in his word, as he is the good shepherd, and he will tend to the needs that you have. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. There's the picture. That's how. Righteousness is within his word that he's revealed and given to us. When we look to him for counsel and guidance, and we see in Psalm 51, when we humbly follow him, he restores our soul and he revives our spirit. I want to read another passage from Isaiah 57 in verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Watch what Almighty God does for us. Isaiah 57, 15. "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." He revives our heart and he revives our spirit when we come to him in humility, recognizing, yes, I am a sheep, but I know who my shepherd is. And he will revive and strengthen us. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Before we go to 4, I do want to mention the end of verse 3. It says that he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Shepherds are known by their ability to shepherd. A shepherd who cannot control or maintain his sheep, that word will get out. He won't be a shepherd for long. But the one who does well, the one who has a way with sheep, his name too will go out through the country, and people will ask him to either help them understand, or that he himself would guide and lead the sheep because he's good at what he does. The passage says, he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You're a child of God. You're a sheep knowing he's the shepherd. You're a reflection of who he is. He leads you and he guides you in righteousness to reflect him. It's a beautiful picture of the shepherd and his sheep. He doesn't have a special group of sheep who are super well behaved. He has sheep who trust him and love him and follow him faithfully, and so then his glory shines through that process. Verse 4, yea, and this isn't hooray, yea, this is consider this. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David is now turning his head. He's talking to us about his shepherd, and we watch him in verse 4 turn to the living God and say, "Because of you, I will fear no evil." He's talking to us. "I will fear no evil because thou art with me." An amazing picture of his understanding of his shepherd. "I will fear no wicked thing, for you are with me." Again, it's important for us to recognize and understand what's being said here, because we have things that cause us to fear. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And I've got news for you. If you haven't been there, you're going. This is earth. Life is difficult. You're going to find yourself in the valley of the shadow of death. And when you do, don't forget, "I will not fear, not because I found some new way to muster up strength, but because I continue to lean on to depend on the good shepherd. All through the Bible, we see over and over again, fear not, I am with you. Do not fear, I am with you. We can watch these events unfold in the Old Testament especially and see God working and saying to his people, believe in me, depend on me, do not fear. Joshua 1 and verse 9, have I not commanded you? Wow, that's powerful. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We must be strong and courageous in the Lord. Whom shall I fear? That's the question. When God is my shepherd, whom shall I fear? I want to show you something, and I'm doing this on purpose. I'm going to give you a New Testament example of the same exact thing. The same living God, 2 Timothy chapter 4, will be with his sheep. And the Apostle Paul has recorded it for us. We're going to begin in verse 16, but Paul is under a lot of stress here. There's a lot of pressure being applied to him in his life as he's laying out the things that had come to pass. One is Alexander the coppersmith. He says, this man has refused our words. He's caused me great trouble. He's going through this list of the terrible things that has happened to him. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. He says, I was all by myself at my first defense. I came forward to defend myself. I looked around, and there wasn't one brother or sister with me. They all ran off. They abandoned me. I was alone, and I pray that God doesn't charge that against them. The very next verse, he says, but the Lord was with me. And what did the Lord do? He gave me the ability to preach his gospel to the Gentiles. And how does Paul conclude that? This is important for us. How do you conclude the statement? The Lord will deliver me, in verse 18, from every evil work and preserve me. How long? How long? That's a good question. We need to know. How long is he going to be with us? He has kept me from every evil work, and he has preserved me for his heavenly kingdom. This means that I depend on my shepherd to see me through until he is finished with me in this life. To fulfill his work, he saw me through. The Apostle Paul will be put to death. That does not change one word of this verse. He stood with me, he sustained me, he kept me as the good shepherd to fulfill the work of the kingdom according to his purpose, not mine. There's peace there. I'm going to follow God, I'm going to do his will, I'm going to do all that I can to serve him, to be faithful to him, and bring as many people as I can to him because he's the good shepherd. And when it's over for me. I will pass from this life. But today, I can stand on this earth and say, you are with me. I will fear no evil. And again, we got to watch the wording. We talk about those serious issues when you know that your life's coming to an end and you are in the valley of the shadow of death. Are you afraid? Well, we can work through that if we'd like to. But look at what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Remember Joshua? Have I not commanded you? Do all things I've given you to do. Be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you go. He's going through the valley of the shadow of death. But it won't take his life. The shadow of death causes fear. I want to ask you a question to think about this idea of the valley of the shadow of death. Has anyone here ever been bitten by the shadow of a dog? Have you ever been bitten by the shadow of a bee or stung by the shadow of a bee? Have you ever seen the shadow of a bee or a dog? I have, and I tell you what, I can imagine some terrible things. That bee's behind me and the sun's back here behind me, and I see that bee flying, and it looks like it's coming straight for my head, looking at the shadow. And so what do? We don't say, well, my shepherd is with me. I will stand here and withstand the sting. It's not what we do. We go, whoa, get away from me. What is that? That's the shadow. Nothing. You haven't been stung yet. It's the shadow, and it makes you move. If you see the shadow of a dog racing towards you, you want to identify this dog. Whose dog is this? Is it growling? Is there frothing at the mouth? I need to know these things. And so fear strikes me. But this is an important statement for us as New Testament Christians because we have eternal life. Death is but a shadow. Paul says, oh death, where is your sting? Where's your victory? There is none because we have eternal life. Yes, we will pass from this earthly life in the flesh, but we have eternal life now. This is the full dependence on a shepherd who will see us into his arms. It does not matter the way that you die or what happens to your body after you die. Those things are irrelevant. It is your service to God and your faithful obedience to the good and loving shepherd. We do go through this valley, and it is scary, but we are told here that I will fear no evil because I know that Almighty God is with me. It's a beautiful picture of what He does for us every day of our life. Let's look at verse 5 of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 and verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You prepare a table before me. It's important to know as well that God is working on our behalf. Even with Jesus, Jesus follows the will of his Father throughout to the cross. He is before his enemies. They are gnashing at their teeth, wagging their fingers and their heads. They are cursing him on the cross. And even Jesus can say in this moment, this dreadful moment, you prepare a table before me in the very presence of my enemies. And we can follow that. Is that true? Of course it's true. This table is prepared and it is being prepared for those who will be faithful to the Lord. Jesus is our example. While we may be facing great trouble and tribulation, he is doing something for us. The shepherd, constantly working and thinking about us as individuals and tending to our needs. The good shepherd never leaves his sheep. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, yes, there's pressure. We're having trouble. There's issues coming about in our lives. But there is a table being set and prepared for us. There are some examples in the Bible that show us this very thing. Thinking about Joseph and his brothers. Joseph is number two in power in the land of Egypt. His brothers are coming second or third time to get grain. And so Joseph is going to speak to them. And they're saying amongst themselves, the brothers are saying, he might put us to death. And we're going to ruin poor old dad if Benjamin doesn't get home. He's either going to kill us or he is going to enslave us. That's what they say to each other. But in Genesis 43 and verse 16, this is what Joseph says to his steward. Slaughter an animal and make ready for these men, for they will dine with me. The brothers think that he is going to kill them. But God's showing us a picture through Joseph of the gracious, hospitable host, who is ultimately God. We have something going on and we think, that's it, we're going to die. We don't know that. Joseph's brothers didn't know that. Matter of fact, they were flat wrong. But a man of God who loves and serves God was preparing a meal for his enemies that they might come back into the family and make things right and get back in line with the will of God. What a great, great servant to consider. Can you think of a New Testament passage where the Bible tells us that something's being prepared for us? We'll give you a minute to think about it, because I know you're getting used to me just calling out verses. Jesus says something's being prepared, and we either take him at his word or we don't. Either he's right or he's not. John chapter 14 is the verse you were about to say, surely. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Watch how it starts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't you see it with me? That we're stuck in a serious situation in life. We're worried. We're even scared to death about something. There is something else happening in the spiritual realm where Jesus says, I am preparing this place. Be faithful till death, and you shall receive the crown of life. I am working on your behalf. with that trust and confidence in these things, we can move forward with great, great boldness. Unfortunately, the sheep too often becomes very sick and worried about the things around it, just that immediate scare. And people tend to be that way as well. You may know someone who says, I don't know, I'm scared, I don't want to go, I can't do it. And what if we go and this happens? What if I try out and I don't make it? And, you know, whatever. They just constantly worried about things like that. Go to David. David, again, you know, fighting a lion and a bear as a teenager, fighting a giant of the land of the Philistines, the giant of Gath, making him drop to the ground, having spears thrown at him by the king of Israel, being chased out of Jerusalem by his own son Absalom, having his best companion turn his back and forsake him in Ahithophel, when Ahithophel gives Absalom counsel and leaves David's side. He has been through it all. He has been abused and tortured by men and by wicked people throughout his life. David says, look, listen, don't be afraid. God is preparing a table, even the very presence of my enemies. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. So again, still surrounded by our enemies, God shows that our sorrows and our afflictions are alleviated and even sweetened by the consideration and the consolation of Almighty God. Alongside the sweet communion with the Lord is his anointing seal and the cup of his salvation, which always is full and always running over. That's the picture of the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 6, surely, most assuredly, because I know my Shepherd, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, no doubt, he says with great confidence, surely I will have these things forever and ever. They are eternally true because the Lord is our shepherd. Goodness and mercy are life companions to those who hope in God. Through his word and through the joy of his salvation, he provides great comfort to his flock. The greatest consolation of all is this: surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'd ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. I want to offer a passage for our invitation. We do want anyone who is here in our number, who is considering responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to understand that this is your invitation to do just that. We've looked at and considered the Good Shepherd, what God sees when he looks out amongst people, and more specifically for someone who wants to obey the gospel or they're thinking about that, what does God see when he looks to you? He knows you need him. He knows you need to be led and guided to these peaceful, calm places that only he can provide. Let's watch Jesus in Matthew 9 in verse 36 as he goes and preaches the kingdom of God to the people. It says in Matthew 9, 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When he looked out to people who were not in line with God's will, they're all going about their business, doing things that people do, doing things that sheep do without a shepherd. The scripture tells us that he had compassion. He looks to them and he says, they're just wandering around without hope. They don't know God. Then he turns to his disciples and says, the laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. We know that. Everyone needs the Lord. Everyone needs a Savior. But there's not many laborers. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send out laborers. That's what's happening right now. A laborer has been sent out to cry to you, come to the Lord. Have the true Good Shepherd before you always. Follow him faithfully and know that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you will surely live in the house of the Lord forever. If we can help you in any way, we want you to come forward right now while together we stand and sing.